1,130 of police stations, with about 30 different kind of categories in the data, specific police stations, data, see where you go map, physical content, or you can compare that station to another station. So that's just for your knowledge. You've seen the budget being quite analysed. This is quite a remarkable trend in terms of policing worldwide. If you look at policing internationally, not just in South Africa. I just come back from a conference in Mexico 32 weeks ago where we are conducting a United Nations conference on the governance of crime and justice statistics. And so we engage with various institutions and universities internationally to look at the international trend in policing and understand it. And the challenge facing the one comment about strategic planning is very basic, it's very good on this. They don't look at other responsible systems, they don't plan with other responsible systems, and I think that's something that should change. The problem with mass arrests, and this is a lot of research that goes back to the 1960s, is that it can lead to sort of reduction in the short term. But if you decide that an area of police and you start arresting lots of people, criminal elements tend to use, there might be a depression of crime, there might come out of the area, which causes displacement. But it can also lead to an increase in crime in longer term. The reason why I look at this is that a lot of arrests are petty crime, and most of that was 1.7 million arrests that I showed you earlier. More than half are for crimes less serious than public surrender work done or being treated in public or related in public. They're not for serious, they're going to be arrested and released. They don't go to the place. But what happens in that process is that those people who get arrested, largely poor people, on the street, might be drinking in a park, they can't afford to go to a tavern or a bar. When they get arrested and they're released, they start, that relationship with the police gets damaged. They start getting the police harassment. They start getting this situation in which large numbers of the population are being arrested, released. And maybe third, sometimes being arrested, sometimes the police use an additional force because they think, well, we're not going to send the person in jail, but we'll demonstrate that they're not being aware of the police. And so you start having this compounded alienation, the breakdown of police relations. But over time, that can lead to some of those people thinking, well, especially young male, feeling, well, I'm not scared of police. I've been arrested a number of times, I've been released, I know what the capacity is like, I'm not going to be anything else. So this is actually research that's taking place in other parts of the world. Most of these things taking place in Africa, but that's experience in other parts of the world. We know that these natural resources are trying to prevent crime. So the impact of policing on crime is using arrest as a main key component of those crossing the left space. You can see this in the crime trend in South Africa. So that's the crime trend, the overall crime trend broken into three broad categories from 1994 until last year. You can see crime peaking in 2003, 2002 in the middle age. Then it's partly decreases, and that's obviously very good news. Crime overall has dropped about 24% between 2002-2003. It dropped mostly to about 2008-2009. Then you can see the total crime level even more. So it goes up 2% and down 2% and going up. The last 2 years, the total crime level has gone up. Certain aspects of the crime have gone down, murder has gone down by more than half, so that's very positive. Violent total crime below. And Roger's been saying that stabilization. A lot of the crime now is driven more about property crime than crime. So they're showing us that if you look at this graph compared to these graphs before, very big increase in the budget, large numbers of police officers, more vehicles, more arrests, more activity. But you can see the impact on the crime rate is going down. So for the last 4 years, we haven't seen the same kind of reduction as we saw in the initial improvement in police since about 2004. And this is the statistics for last year. And it is quite worrying. Because it shows that most of the serious violent crimes are increasing. The crimes highlighted in orange there are crimes that are quite susceptible to police, because they're organized, they're committed by people who are criminals, they go out, plan their crimes, these truck hijacking, robbery in the residential premises, burglary, car hijacking, burglary at business premises, general street robbery, commercial crimes, and robbery at businesses, non-residential premises, are planned crimes. They're committed by a relatively small number of people, you plan their crimes, and if you arrest one group or one person in business, you actually reduce the crime rate, because not everybody's doing this kind of crime. So if your policing is with good intelligence, focused, and able to arrest the right people, not just mass arrests, but arresting the right people, you should see these going down. So we've almost gone on to, let's just meet everybody equally, but what we need to do is focus policing more intelligently so we can see the right people. We get fewer people who don't damage any relations, but the right people so that we get these crime rates down. And you can see here that some of these crimes are going up quite significantly. Robbery of residential premises is particularly worrying, 5.6% increase in the ratio. Almost 1,200 more households being attacked by armed gangs than the recent crime rates in 2024. And that's a crime that is very susceptible to people. You can see that those are the sort of robberies going up there. And then we look. This is an example of other data that you collect. We're looking for an insurance company. And you can see from all the insurance companies that already share data, you'll see in 2010-11 in the World Cup, on the left-hand side, what's the time that's going down? That's leading to a decrease in 41%. And those are how probably the insurance is better than the theft. But over the last year, we've got some quite a big increase. Some insurance companies paying up to 47% more as a result of house robbery. So that's more the case. application of the primary exam is gone forward in the National Village Department. They start in 2007-08, big reduction going into 2012 and then still up 2 years. So all indicators are that violence, terrorist crime are going up. And that is something that we should be telling us about and saying how they're going to get it down. What are they going to do differently to make sure that these crimes are causing most fear and trauma in our society? How are they going to make sure they get those people in place? Okay, these are crimes that decrease, and most of these are, a lot of these are sort of critical crimes that is difficult for people to necessarily be from their own. Okay, so what are the key reasons? What would you do if you have enough these resources or increases in these resources that you won't be in the same country? Internationally, one of the arguments is that you've got to get these in a certain democratic state to have a huge amount of public decision. You've got to make the population believe that the police are there to serve the community and that everybody has trust in it. So really what you find here is that changing the style and substance of police practices makes them more legitimate in the eyes of the public, particularly amongst high-risk communities and usually young men. Maybe one of the most effective long-term policing strategies is crime prevention. So if you go on this hard, tough on crime approach to making that arrest and not giving it time to impact, you change your approach to policing, make sure that the police can restore public business. And that's why the National Living Plan took so much emphasis on the professionalization. Police officers must be seen to train professionals to operate with integrity within the code of conduct. But when you see a police officer, you don't feel scared, you feel safe. And a lot of the articles suggest that you do have problems. Total criminal cases lodged with ICE ID last year were 14 criminal cases in every 3 days increase. I think it's been a legitimate alert to the public. In 2011-2012, over 720 death reports to ICE ID. There was some evidence of criminality in the part of about 162 or 1 in 5 cases. Those cases were then forwarded to the National Prosecutor's Office. We looked at some National Prosecutor's Office crime survey. Of those who frequently said they experienced corruption, the numbers who said it was increased from 18% in 2007 to 23.9% in 2011. And the Human Sciences Research Council, their annual virtual attitude survey shows that two-thirds of the population think that corruption is a widespread problem. Yet half of the population, 41%, there you go, 10 years, has any level of suffering. And future facts in the survey from 12 national institutes scary enough found that between 35% and 40% of the people in the community could have actually scared of people who not go to the police station before crime and maybe safety. Those indicators are demonstrating that there's a big need now for focusing on how to get police to be trusted by the population, by clamping down corruption, improving discipline, and promoting good police. A good police officer must know that they recognize the orders and promoted for the work. This is just the cases of the ICE ID show that you want to change. That last year, you can see the case is jumping up. That just shows what happens when you change regulations. So now the police are going to do a lot more investigation. And you can see, as of 2011-2012, there was actually a slight reduction the year before, after quite a long ongoing decrease from around 2001-2002. There's plenty of a slight reduction, but then the legislation changed to give the police the ICE ID to mandate more types of police crimes. See, jumping there in terms of total criminal cases in 2,325,172. So these are concerns with police and the ICID back in the full of folks. So they really need to actually have a lot more resources to deal with that level of increase in investigation for their cases. It's not necessary that there's been a huge increase in money of the number of people that are charity because of the ICID is in the case. These cases used to be investigated. And then you can see the consequences on civil charities in Oakland against the police. These are the contingent. Okay, so there's the amount of money that people have put aside. They don't pay this amount out. They pay a full fraction, only about $100 million or so last year, but there is an increase. You can see this year in the last 4 years, from 2009 to 2010, about R7 billion was the worth of contingent claims against people. And then you see the last 2 years, it's really going a lot of this has to do with illegal arrests, people being arrested where there's no legal basis to arrest, sits in a cell and is a family. So that demonstrates a fair problem that has a rise to 18.5 billion rand for this particular country budget. That amount of money being paid probably for wrong issues in the arrest and crime for the whole thing. The behavior of police, this actually changed policing in America, because the police forces are quite local and the police couldn't afford to keep the police open, but didn't change the behavior. So that actually, civil litigation in America drove a lot of the problems trying to minimize the problems. Okay, the issue of impunity, and I go back to it. Right now, when you look at the sort of various data sets, one thing you find out is the police conviction rate is quite low. Out of 2,576 cases referred to the National Prosecutor's Office by the Independent Police Investigation, only 129 are in conviction. This is quite the same. It's actually very low. It's much more likely that if you're a boarding citizen and you have a case open against by the police and they prosecute it, that you'll be convicted. But when it comes to police officials, it drops dramatically. Only 1% of the total case opening. And there's an issue there, some research looking at why the NPA officers are actually hesitant to prosecute police officials, because they work with them. They don't want to get a situation where one organization seems to be targeted. So you need to look at that issue. In the police itself, the continuing hearings, the numbers ending in this bucket have increased over the last few years, from 12.2% of all hearings to 8% in 2012-13. And over one-third, so once in order to have a system hearing the police, we've got to first be an allegation. This is an investigation, so police officers will be allegating that, given that case, go to the investigation and find evidence. If there's evidence of wrongdoing or misconduct, then they've got to set up a hearing. They've got to give notice to the subject officer, they've got to get to the county officer, prosecution officer, the lawyers involved. So it's a very resource-intensive case to actually have a hearing. So it is worrying that one in three hearings ends with no sanction. The case is either acquitted or the case is withdrawn. So often acquitted or the case is withdrawn. So there needs to be a serious investigation into why so many cases, after all that effort, where there is evidence of wrongdoing, that the specific case doesn't get to the police. It really means that the most likely outcome is that a police official is losing all the one in 10 times you might get fired, but the vast majority, but the most likely outcome is the case to be sought, so it might take any time. So that leads to a sense of there's an open question that shows the police that don't really think. Okay, so that's just that slide we told you. And that's why it's important to really understand the police versus the behavior, conduct. It's not just an issue of bad actors. It's often you've often heard of terms. You're just getting rid of the bad actors, the bad actors. These things put ordinary people into extraordinary situations. These officers find themselves in a lot of stress. And if they don't feel they're getting enough support from organizations, not just disciplines. So you can't solve the problem just by discipline, just by criminal cases. You have to have a positive professional ethos. That means that these officers must risk organization as an organization that is operated, and it's fair and tough for them. And when they do their work well, when they work hard, they demonstrate that they're honest, they will get the promotion, that they will move to the organization. That is what is, that's the biggest way to actually change their habits. So that's what something they need to look at. And what you see is that that's not really the case for anybody. That's the reason that talks about a serial crisis of top management. They had five national commissioners in the last 5 years, three presidents and two acting. You've seen action not being taken against senior officials to find evidence of wrongdoing or action against officials. So if you're a low-ranking officer or a constable, station level, you can be suspended or something happens to you for reason, you might have done that. But if you're a senior-ranking officer, it's a very serious allegation against you, not. So it starts making people think, well, you're not being treated deep. That undermines the professionalism. It creates an impression that political personal work is more important than hard work, honesty, and qualification to achieve senior positions. This affects the culture in the strength of the code of society, so the police are not open. We need to speak out about things, minimize these things, which people can respect openly and honestly about each other in the organization, undermines the police role and willingness to improve. And these issues should be related deeply by the committee to the new tax. Around promotion and appointment of top level. So, one of the big problems in the role, and this is a worrying graph for us, this is the number of police suicides in 2008-2009. It's a tip going up overall, so it's stuck with 2011 under World Cup, but now we're looking at 2 years of and that's an indication of new life. That means the person is exposed to these very difficult experiences, the traumatic experiences they're often exposed to, can't cope with those experiences, and the system there are not able to assist them and be doing increase in the numbers of people that are being discriminated against very well. Associated statistics would be around alcohol, drug abuse, domestic violence, and abuse are challenges not only for that but for all time. When it comes to the killing of police officers, this is something that we also bring to be track a lot. You can see that South Africa has actually done really well. That is the time that it's for. You can see that it's been a huge decline. And the decline has continued to raise up a bit in 2005, 2007. But we've been able to climb so that, and that's good, that's a very good trend. We're really glad to see that. Of course, recently we've had more police killings, and I think Western Cape is the one area that we really need to look at, because 2 years ago, there were 3 officers killed in Western Cape. Last year, there were 8. Now, I think we need to start applying it. We need help with people here. We need to start looking at what is it about in Western Cape. But these reductions were led, especially since the 1989-2000 case, to the then Minister of Police, not the Minister of Police, the UTS organization, the youth and others, to do a series of collaborative work with the police to look at what are the factors contributing to the injuries from this particular police officer. They looked at each of the cases where the officer was killed or attacked, that's good. And they really tried to make sense of it, and then based on that empirical evidence, came up with a whole concrete recommendation, most of which were actually implemented, resulting in the reduction. And I think we saw in 2011-10 with the Minister of Police having a big scandal around police killings. One of the recommendations was working collaboratively, and I don't think that's the investigator that the recommendation has taken. In other words, the police are doing it on their own. They're feeling the respect of the they themselves with the problem. So I think it's good to work with external organizations to let the public and use it to take our technology. Okay, one last thing to end my presentation, but one thing that I think was a big concern last year, because it is once again focuses on the efficiency, is that last year the crime ratio that was a statistical miscalculation. Crime ratios, that means the number of crimes per 100,000 population. For the 2011-12 pair, were based on the census that was taken in 2001. Then the crime ratios for 2012-2013 were based on the census figures of 2011, which put the population in South Africa about 1.6 million more than there was estimated in 2001. The consequence is that what the police said was going on in terms of change of crime as a ratio between the last 2 years, wherever crime was going up, it looked like it wasn't going up that much. The murder, the police officials show a 0.6 increase in the actual figures. So all the crimes are going down, it's exaggerating the increase. So you can see there, when from 12 to the edge, it went up by 4.8, but then the population shows going down by 6.6. We did write letters to the Minister and to the National Commissioner, and we weren't very happy with that. But those kinds of errors we've made at the top of the organization, we need to find out why. So far there has not been an investigation into why those investigations are incorrect. Because this information comes to Parliament and used to make decisions incorrect. It's a simple error, not something that's not interpreted. But when you look at the policy, that's national. Now we look at the policy, you see that the error really needs some time depending on the immigration flows in these policies. And particularly for now, it's the Western. So the error was 9.7% out in the Western Cape. In other words, it's a good evidence. You saw what it means. It means that, according to the police, murder went up by 0.5% in the Western Cape, but actually went up by 10%. At least tell the figures show that common assault, burglary, residential, and theft on other vehicles are going down, when in fact they're going up. And that's problematic. So although the actual numbers of crimes are not even seen to go there, the way that these projects have changed, whether they're good for something up or down, is in this case. And I think that is something that needs to be addressed. There needs to be some kind of expression why do that think that error takes place. It hasn't been taken, so we don't know if the lesson can prevent the kind of error that is going to happen again in the future. We can't have our contracts to in mind. Okay, so we really support the recommendation of the National Development Plan, the National Regional Board, that we set up just a standard for promotion. One that is important, setting current officers according to the demands of the job and what they've got, the skills, experience, and integrity to do that, to hold those professional training levels is important. And the National Police Board established could then independently provide Parliament with yet another set of data about other people within the council. So the requirement only we think that crime statistics should be released more regularly, and by those that need them, and we think that we should form a structure at a national level so that the police can engage with universities, other research organisations, look at the data they have and better understand crime and police. Police is a very closed organisation. They work in very small organisations, don't share information. But it's just a public service, and I think if we all put our heads together and work collaboratively with the police, we could actually see a lot more improvement than we can see. So I'll end there, and I'll just want to thank the committee once again for watching.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Questions from members? I'm on your
team. Thank you, Chair. My question is on the when it comes to this aspect, one of the main reasons was the motive. It seems to me, and this is fighting back, and the other people.
It's difficult to help. Just supposing our situation with countries like Sweden and in Scandinavia and Norway, how do you compare?
Thank you. I think they have been good. I think one of the elements around the legislation was that the police weren't implementing the recommendation line. So the ICD went to the ICD to do investigation, and then they either find evidence of criminality against a police official, and then they'll hand that evidence to the National Prosecuting Authority. But in many cases, they would find evidence that there was misconduct. And so those cases would be handed back to police management to take action using the criminal system. And in the vast majority of those cases, the police didn't take action, or just ignore the recommendations. So you have this very important body that's doing the same investigation, coming up with evidence to a public. The police don't act on those recommendations. And I think that's starting to change because now that the ICID legislation makes it, they have to report to the minister on how many cases they receive and what's happening with recommendations. So it's going to take some time. It's not where it should be, but we certainly see improvements on that basis, that more of these recommendations are being taken out. I think when it comes to the sort of piece, one of the challenges is that the ICID is really should be seen as one component of an architecture of oversight. So it's never going to be the ICID line to reduce criminality and brutality. It's not going to have that kind of ability. All it can do is investigate each case and give it back to the people that are suffering from it. It is really important organizations that people who are scared of the police, as you saw, there's quite a large number of those people. But people who don't trust the police, who go to another organization, might investigate if they're facing serious allegations against the police. So I think legislation is fine in the middle. I don't think it can be extended. But I think we do need to look at how it is implemented, what is the capacity, and we saw this morning about the challenges of investigators, defenders, and correcting that kind of thing. Now it's really about that. So I think the legislation is okay, but it's now about implementing that to make sure the organization can take the attention as quickly as possible. But at the end of the day, it's really going to be the most the responsibility for improving police behavior is going to have to stay with top management. The other one is about we get promoted, we get rewarded, and we get promoted. And that's what's really shaped the public. When it comes to Sweden, I must say I haven't studied Swedish police in any detail. I can't compare to Sweden. South Africa's, South African police service compares very well as a police organization in Africa, and parts of South Central America and South Africa. So if you look at South Africa on an international graph, so we are where police have been done well or not well, and the kind of index, and that hasn't been actually developed. South Africa's police agency does well in many ways, because it gets a lot of resources, it actually does, it has a code of conduct, and its budget processes, what it does is subject to oversight by Parliament. They produce statistics and everything that users actually see when they send the budget, how many arrests they're making. So that way, it's doing very well, and you know, because of, we've got really, really, very many good men and women in South Africa, at all levels of crime. So when we look at our murder rate, some of the best murder investigators find corruption. say if you're a police official and you're hardworking and you really want to do a good job, this is the best possible policing. And South African police seals are actually wanted internationally. Just recently, Fiji did an international search. They needed a new police commission. And they've chosen the South African police and the South African police. So he was on the best African international. So we have got, I think we have a very strong basis for that. There's a really lot of good people in the South African police force at all levels. And if we could really get that professional culture to keep us going, we'd see a big change. Youth would become part of our community. We'd be something that people see themselves against, or see something part of themselves, and that would really close the space of community. So I think we have everything we need. We need really about the more difficult stuff, about leadership, about making sure that the culture changes. And yeah, so that's a good, so that's a piece of his world.
Thank you very much for that. Just the last one. We don't want to leave you to sample some.
You're really making some of the highly valued cases. That's what seems like this.
It's not based on use, it's based on some of the kind of materials that I've read in the past. I think sometimes we need to have a really clear status of designing officers. What you sometimes find is that designing officers, police officers are found guilty of beating somebody up or abusing alcohol on duty or something like that to people. And then when they're given a chance to sort of argue their case in mitigation, they say, oh, well, I really, I lose my job, I'm going to lose my salary, I've got kids in school, and the society office is still targeted, and they're doing their best. But the always they're different. So I think there needs to be a lot of space to start the society office looking for evidence and making a decision case, taking evidence and coming to the system. And so I think we need to train the society office. We're going to look at the investigation structure within the police. It's very difficult for police to investigate each other. Because you as a police officer now have difficulties with your job. And so a lot of police investigators really don't go out of their way to find all the evidence against their set of people. Especially if they know them or they might be interested in them. So I think you need to look at having dedicated investigation investigations. And then that's commissioner of the European agency establishing criminal corruption. But many police agencies have dedicated police officials who really focus on these kinds of issues. They train. They don't do very well at them. They demonstrate they're able to investigate their own. Make sure that the quality is heavily improved, and they will get the most like that. So it's about that kind of thing. But I think one of the areas is that research should be taken to find out exactly why.
Maybe just one question from my side.
Well, the thing is crucial because it is an internal accountability. So it really went a rough patch for a period of time, and I think it's been an improvement for the last couple of years. There's so many people there. It became a kind of a dumping ground. So you were kind of, everyone would suspend you from the police because you found to do something wrong in one place, but often turns to inspectors, which is a bit crazy because the government inspectors go to the state to make sure that all the standing orders are being upheld. The equipment being looked after, are parading early morning, so that structure is very, very important. It's not something that must be seen as a kind of a review. It's crucial to what I'm talking about, these positions. So I think the committee will be doing well. It's an external oversight agency. It's good to look at what are the internal, how well are the internal oversight agencies doing? It's an inspection of the future. So I definitely encourage you to look at that in more detail. We haven't done some research on it, so it's not available at all. Research into what it does and how that works. I brought some material too, so I'll be with you. Put more detail into the ground strategy about these kinds of issues. We need some more research now on specialized agreements and on how to establish effective anti-corruption agencies for the police. As we have a example of attending to the committee. We're having a conference on importance of the August International Climate Change Conference. We invite speakers around the world, but particularly Africa, to come and look at how we can share this. And there's some invitations to the Committee of Field Charge, but we hope to see some of you there.
very much, Mr. Minister, for the discussion, and we appreciate the time, and I think that August we don't do our strategic plan, which is the minister, and we might be full of them, and we're good officers to do this. Thank you very much. We're going to continue with our session. The next institution that's going to speak on the budget of the ACP is the South African Police Union. Welcome to them, and they can come to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member. The South African Police Union really appreciate the invite. And also want to congratulate you on your new role in the committee. We have received the invitation very late. As a result, we were unable to provide a document to the committee which will be able to refer to. So issues which we have to come and visit here. But one thing that is so much worrying to us as labor movement that operates within SAP, it is the issue of the clothing. Prior to 1994, you will recall that policing was a closed system in the sense that communities were not allowed to participate as to what type or kind of policing they want. After 1994, things changed, and the communities have the right to decide as to what kind of policing they want. That would then mean that or suggest that the police have to become transparent. They have to become open and engage honestly with all stakeholders. We don't want to use this as a complaint forum, but we want to indicate that to engage in the event such as this one is a very key, important, and as a result, we have to be given information in time so that we are able to input meaningfully. But having said here today, and listening to the handing over report, which was done by the advisory committee, which has got filled of the papers here, we realize that as an organization, many of the issues which we raised in the past are encapsulated in that document. And that brings comfort to us to say that those issues are not going to get lost along the line. There is an issue of underspending by the police, 233 or 32 million that was shown, I think, during the presentation. That is worrying us because every time when you are to deal with issues of human control, issues that are very sensitive because they impact negatively on the welfare of these policemen and women and their families, you will always be referred to the scarcity of budget, the money. We had had a breakdown of constables who need to be moved or salary graded, and they were not graded for the past 12 years. But after we have negotiated with them, out of 32,000, they managed to allocate budget for only 6,000 of those constables. So the honorable members will see that there is a huge cut that still lies ahead for the management to make sure that those people who qualify to be moved are moved. So if all these other people from the other rank up until the rank of a lieutenant colonel. And I think this 233 million rand would have, if it was spent wisely, we would have been able to deal with this issue of human resource. The other issue is the issue of investigations of specific crimes. And I think after I listened to the ISS presentation, it really, we don't just understand why is the police with such capacity which they have are really unable to want to deal with this issue in a form of identifying a specific team which will deal with specific crime. We just don't understand that. Because if you have got violent crimes that are in, which are increasing, you need to first look at what type of crimes are this one. Is it robbery? Is it robbery, house robbery? If it is house robbery, what kind of a unit would you form to specifically deal with it so that you also improve on your detection rate and even your what you call it, success is their goal. The successful prosecutor is the perpetrator of this crime. Because investigation of crime is not an easy task. It is a very difficult task. You need to have police officers acquainted and even undergoing refresher courses, you know, time and again, so that they don't lose, you know, the expertise that they have on the field. But you find that this work is being given to general investigating officers. And these people, to be honest with you, they have got enough at their disposal. They really have got so much work to do. So, and you can also see that the police need this specialized unit. They do. Because when there is a proper high-profile case, when there is a high-profile case that's reported, you will see them establishing a what do you call this, a task team, yes. And this task team that will go and deal with that specific crime, which you could have, if you had established this specific, this unit, you could have just referred those matters to those units to deal with those issues. And this task team, I don't know if they've got an open date and an ending date. They are there. The usage of crime intelligence information as well, which is gathered by Crime Information and Analysis Center. That information is key because they tell you of a crime that is committed or crimes which have committed or taken place within the past 24 hours. Surely posting a vehicle along Smith Street, R21, a regular line in Gauteng as we normally see, I don't think that is an intelligence-driven type of deployment of police resources. Because even a criminal, a newly schooled criminal, will tell you that you cannot drive through Smith Street because there's always police that are there. You cannot drive along R21 because police are there. You cannot drive along regular. Does it stop criminals from continuing to perpetuate this crime? It doesn't stop them. So it is an issue of having synergy among the units that we have within the police, and especially driven by intelligence that is already gathered by crime intelligence. Boarding of vehicles. If we have established this thing that is called the resource establishment guide, that document tells you exactly how many members you need to have at a particular station, how many cars you need to have, what type of resources you need to have there. But two key issues there is the issue of the human capital, human resource, and the issue of vehicles. If your resource establishment guide says you need to have 52 cars there, how do we maintain the 52 vehicles at that particular station so that communities get an uninterrupted service with the current model that we have of replacing boarded vehicles? Because vehicles that are boarded today, you will have to wait for the new budget to come, and we are lucky that we haven't seen a situation where the whole fleet of vehicles at a particular station are depleted before you get to get the new budget. So I think the police need to look at the replacement of this resource. If they have got a budget, put it aside and say, for this station, we have to maintain 52 cars. If every time when a vehicle is boarded, you have got funds to replace that vehicle to keep the strength of that of those resources in that particular station the same. Then the resource establishment guide is going to address the purpose why it has been established. The issue of public order policing, I think this is a sore in the eyes of many. Public order policing was done away with in 2006. The police did not do any research, what you call the work study, as to what is the reason why public order policing was no longer necessary. And what will be a unit or another policing institution they're going to put to replace that which the public order policing has been doing. Nothing, not in paper. Now 2008, then there are violent, violence which have been taking place throughout the country. In 2008, And by that time, we have already disbanded all these units. These people have already been pushed to prison. Now, you want them back. And not all of them will come back. Now, we are sending, today we have got 4,000 strengths of this public order policing. The research indicates that we need at least 10,000 of these police officers. But we're sending at 4,000. When are we going to reach that 10,000 target? Is it feasible? Is it going to happen within a period of 2 years? Is it going to happen within a period of... with all what is happening today in this country? Because South Africans have got the right to assemble and demonstrate to unwind the element of peace. Even if they become violent, police must be able to respond to this violent protest. Professionally as well. When this unit has been established now, this 4,000 we're referring to, they centralize it. Why do we centralize public order policing? Because public order policing works in a satellite. They need to go and gather their own information. They need to go and establish the contact point where they will be able to gather their own information within that policing environment. You need community participation in this. In any policing work, you will never succeed without the participation of the public. And they participate in different ways. Public participate in giving you information. But we have centralized public order policing. And then we then deploy public order policing to Mututu. They don't know that injury at all. They don't know what is going on there. They are made, 8 people are made to police more than 250 people who are on demonstrations, exercising their democratic rights. And something bad happened because of the way we are dealing with the issues of public protest. We need to decentralize public order policing. We also, as the South, feel that we need to deal with the issue of anti-corruption units. There's nothing wrong with IP doing this police action, conduct, so investigating it. But I believe, I think, in 2013, IP has tabled a report, I think it was at the unit, where they said they really have got a plate full and they need the assistance. The police need to come in and do some of the work. Why abdicate your own responsibility and give it to IPID when you still have got the responsibility to bring in issues of discipline in this environment, to deal with the issues of police conduct? Police still have to do that job. And I'm happy to learn that common assault, IPID wants to push into parliament so that they can deal with one of these mandates to remove common assault. But you need to have a unit within the police that will have to deal with issues of police conduct. We are also glad to see that on the police program, in the previous year, when the police were presenting here, we have seen that they have collapsed crime intelligence units and the protection and security services, and they brought them together and called them fit. With no consultation, fit. Now, when there was so much noise out there about fit, because fit is the master department. They operate underground. You've got covert, you've got overt there. You are bringing those mafia structures to work with uniform structures. Do we expect these people, this unit, to really succeed? These are 2 people. The other ones are not supposed to be seen by the public. The other ones are visible because they're wearing uniforms. They are driving this mass vehicle. But we are happy to see them now that this programs have gone back to fight. I think crime intelligence is on its own, protection and security is on its own. And this is the list that we wanted to contribute, Honorable Chair, without, I mean, coming from the town. And want to really thank you. please tell me about it. The issue of police organizational design. This is a matter for conversation. The reason we are raising it here, it is because unions need to input, not only unions, I think even researchers as well. If we have been coming to you here and say the police structure is top heavy and we need to scale it down, and also looking at the previous establishment, the police establishment structure, which looks like a rocket, which is false, which really is not in line with the issue of the hierarchical structure that the police, that any organization needs to look like. We have seen that they're saying that the top DNCs have been reduced from 6 to 3, but in essence, police, those ranks have swelled from 30 to 34. So there's no decrease there. The numbers have grown. So we strongly believe that organizational design need to be fully, you know, consulted, and all the brains that are needed to assist, the police must be able to really accept that. They must really accept that. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, for giving us this opportunity.
Thank you very much for your input. Like the guidance, we appreciate that very much. Questions for clarification?
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to go to the issue of the other bus station. I'm not sure if you have a bus station. This is a few things that I have. Something that
other questions for clarification?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just one question. The Minister said something about centralization of public police. I've been trying to think on my own. How that is talking about the command structure going down, or what is it to do to clarify? Any
other questions? Yeah, maybe just from my side. As members of parliament, we get a lot of representations also from members of the public in these forums. Both of us and the views. I just want to have your comments. I received a letter from, I don't know whether it belongs to the trade union, and from a member in the House King regarding the salary scales of captains in the King's funeral. He indicated that after 4 years, those salaries haven't been adjusted. And maybe just for all the background, is that still the case? And what are the issues that you have been engaged in the new office of the government?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to share with the President about the two things that the conclusion that I have is when the unrest in Nigeria, the local politicians are set to the unrest and attack and demon call the two things. And now most cases, by the time that one vehicle goes to that violent arrest, the time that the vehicle is arrested, before the two become. What is your view on that? That's it. Thank you, Honorable Chair. So when I used the word underground structure because I thought that was the best way to describe covert institutions and all that. these are structures, these are units that operate within CI, crime intelligence. And I think most of their funding is coming from secret services and all that. But these institutions are legal institutions, and they have got a specific work that they have to carry out, but on the ground method. The issue of decentralization of force. Public order policing is now housed at the National Intervention Unit. They are being, in terms of command and control, they are being controlled from that center. So what happened is that when there is an event or anything that is taking place somewhere else, they are being dispatched from that level, and then they are then sent to that particular place. And we are saying that it takes long, and it's not supposed to be happening the way it is happening now. If you have that unit as a cluster of that particular, cluster, you have got stations that are brought together and are represented by one commissioner there, and then it is for a cluster. If you were to bring in that unit and say, you from Johannesburg, this is your base and this is your cluster, that is your line of command and control, this is your cluster, and this is the place where you are going to operate. And then you leave them during the course of the day, because they are not violent or incidents, they need to establish what we call the networking within the community. And they must report back. People must know who are the contact points in this community, in Midlands, in Dublin, whatever. So that when issues erupt within that environment, that information, the intelligence that is being drawn, it is then assessed, analyzed, and then they send out a, what do you call this, notification, what do you call it? Then they'll send you an info to say that there is a likelihood that this and this is going to happen. So you are able to deploy police officers before that incident takes place. So you have asked a question, Honorable Chair, you have asked a question to say, is it true that the police at local will first have to go and verify if there is not supposed to be working like that? Because police stations, it is true that police comes first to this issue. They are the ones who see this issue first. That is in the absence of intelligence. And that's what is happening today. And we become reactionaries now. We are reacting to something that we could have prevented from taking place. I don't know if I've answered your question. So we need that intelligence within the community. And on the issue of lieutenants and majors, this is a very sensitive matter. We got 1,500 police officers. These police officers were promoted in terms of an agreement, Agreement 3 of 2011. Solidarity took this matter on review on the basis of the issue of PE, am I correct? That is employment equity of the police. We don't know how far is that case, but when the police withdrew as a result of their successful interdict, as a result of Solidarity's successful interdict, to say that those promotions should be put on hold. So 1,500 of them have been put on hold, pending the outcome of that case. We don't know how far that is. These lieutenants and citizens and major and lieutenant generals, they have been placed at the same salary level. We have had in the past a case, a new rank was introduced, the lieutenant. They could not place them anywhere else other than a lieutenant being placed at a captain. And that is bringing so much discomfort among the people. This is a command and control environment. Seniority plays a key role here in management of members. And a captain feels that a lieutenant, I have got more authority than a lieutenant, but a lieutenant in the same salary as I do. So that needs to be fixed. It's the same issue of a major and a lieutenant general. A major is a new rank. It's being brought into the scale of a lieutenant general. So between these four ranks, there is a lot of discomfort. The police are not coming clear as to how they're going to resolve it, but they need to open up the salary scale so that each and every salary rank is at its own salary level.
Yes, I just wanted to offer a
signed, but maybe the unions can negotiate. Mr. Mark and Mr. Twala that asked the question.
Just a follow-up on my part. I understand that the explanation is good, and it gives me an answer. How is the system now? If you say they are at a central place, is it provincial or is it nationally? Because as you say, I would agree they need to be at master or something like that. But if then it wouldn't make sense to me if the national or provincial condition.
Thank you, Mr. Malkin. Mr. Smaller, you can answer.
In terms of the number of them, that's two very valuable budgets. I'm sure you can see the way to say that it's from the new budget to go to the paper.
Thank you, Mr. Malkin.
Mr.
Smaller?
POP is a national component now, as we speak. They are not operating as we have suggested. It's a national establishment. They are controlled from the top there and deployed to various places where they are located. And then the issue of responsibility, they differ. In the police, if all of us that are sitting here and we are police officers, and you find that I will use you, Honorable Chair, please don't kill me. And then you find that the Honorable Chair that is sitting there is the highest ranking officer here. He automatically assumes responsibility of all the actions of the people that are here. That gives that person more authority than any other person and responsibility.
Thank you very much.
It seems at this stage that COCU is not with us, and therefore we're going to close early. We will then reconvene with a slot at 30:30 with the minister, and then the top management of police at 5 o'clock. So thank you very much. We will receive each other at 30:30 with a slot. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I need to get presentations too. I have a flash, but only
read the other way.
Oh, cool.
Do you mind if I go get it from there?
That'd be great. Yeah. Let me just pause this. How do I do that?